Get a roll call, please.
City of Blythe?
Here.
City of Cathedral City? City of Coachella? Coachella Valley Water District? City of Desert Hot Springs?
Present.
Imperial Irrigation District? City of Indian Wells?
Here.
City of Indio?
Here.
City of La Quinta?
Present.
Mission Springs Water District?
Present.
City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of Palm Springs? City of Rancho Mirage?
Present.
Riverside County District 4?
Here.
Torres Martinez, Desert Cahuilla Indians. Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Ms. Nistandi, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Sure. Please join me as we honor our country and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge to
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. And then we have public comments on agenda items. I do have one comment from Mr. Donald Ziegler.
Yes, President.
Go ahead, Mr. Ziegler.
Mr. Ziegler, I believe we have provided your written comments to the committee.
I really appreciate that. I saw that. I'll just be brief here. My name is Donald Ziegler. I live in Palm Desert. The concerns I have regarding the CCAP for you today in item 7A in the agenda can be narrowed down to four words: participation, enforcement, affordability, reliability. Participation. This plan will affect every aspect of life in the Coachella Valley. All segments of the Valley community need to participate in its implementation. It's essential that an advisory body be created to support the staff working on this plan. For enforcement, implementation of major portions of this plan is specifically assigned to CBAG. There will be resistance to parts of this plan from many cities, developers, climate change deniers, the utilities, and God only knows who else. CBAG must forcefully exercise its full authority to make sure that the entire plan gets implemented. Affordability. Projects undertaken cannot be solely dependent on the utilities to provide the electricity that will be needed. The most cost-effective way to provide electricity going forward in our sun-blessed valley is through on-site solar and battery systems, not more expensive wires and substations. Reliability. The biggest issue faced by the Coachella Valley is how to deal with extreme heat in the summer. I don't think the document adequately addresses the unique electricity needs for a climate where a 12-hour power outage could lead to millions of dollars of losses to businesses, as well as dangerous health situations for thousands of citizens. To ensure 100% reliable electricity, I think this CCAP needs additional language that specifies reliability standards that every project needs to satisfy. Reliability is not in this document that I saw. So let me finish where I started. Please listen for four words as you watch this presentation. And if you don't hear them, ask why not. The words again are participation, enforcement, affordability, and reliability. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll go ahead and move on to committee member and director comments.
Sure.
Go ahead, Mr. Supervisor.
Yeah, I'll be very brief because I'm going to hand this over to Palm Springs Councilwoman, as well as my staff, policy staffer from Palm Springs area, West End. That's Grace Gardner. She's going to talk a little bit about the dust summit, just to get folks up to speed and what was learned, and just a quick update.
Thank you, Supervisor. So on November 6th, we had a dust summit. It was hosted by Supervisor Perez and AQMD. And we had a great turnout both in person and online. We heard from locals as well as experts, including scientists at AQMD, Riverside County Department of Public Health, a professor from UCR, and our CBAG's very own Emmanuel Martinez. So the experts did report back to us that levels of both PM 2.5 and PM 10 have gone down in the valley, despite having a slight increase after Tropical Storm Hilary. But they also, after public comment, acknowledged that there are potential gaps in data that they're willing to review. which I thought was a very positive thing, that they were really listening to the community feedback and being willing to go back and look at other types of records to determine if there are issues. AQMD also announced their recent approval of $3.1 million for additional monitoring throughout the Coachella Valley to determine very specifically where the dust is coming from and how far it's traveling, and then to develop mitigation strategies from there. So that's very positive news. The residents and the supervisor, both all of them really raised the importance of taking action in this moment. The supervisor asked that we determine short, mid, and long-term solutions on this issue. One of those solutions is looking at the different areas in the valley where we already know as residents we're seeing a lot more dust. Tom Kirk and I actually took a little tour not too long ago of areas in the Palm Springs area where we see a lot of dust being brought up, and we took other experts with us. So we'll continue to look at different areas and see what we can do in terms of soil stabilization through actual soil stabilizer that you spray. And one of the other things that came up that we can look into is native plants, putting different native shrubs in certain areas, especially if they're conservation areas. Maybe that's a better solution than spraying something on top of the dust. Additionally, there's opportunities to work with UCR on a future warning system that they're working on. So this would allow people to know ahead of time if a dust storm were approaching. Be great for us in terms of making sure you're not on the road, if you need to cancel a soccer game or just want to stay inside. I also do want to remind folks that AQMD, along with CBAG, has worked on street sweeping, air filtration, and is continuing to develop targeted actions on this issue. I just wanted to thank the public for coming out. I thought it was really great that we had so many people that were interested, and there were some folks that were frustrated, but I thought the frustration was good for AQMD to hear, so that they understood that this is an issue that's really important to all of the residents and our elected officials here in the Valley, and that we want them to take our concerns seriously. And of course, thank you to AQMD for helping us host this event and making it successful. I have some cards here that I'll leave. I think most of you know how to reach me, but in case you don't, I'll give them to Erica. And you can reach out to me. Happy to have calls or coffee and talk about other areas that you want us to review or other solutions that you think we should look into as well. But we will be putting out a report about the Dust Summit with more detail about what we learned, just making sure that we're continuing to keep you all updated on the short, mid, and long-term solutions as requested by the supervisor.
Thank you, Grace, and job well done. Grace helped organize. I did most of the organizing on the ground. And I just want to say thank you for making that work, making that happen. It's a lot of work to do something like that. And yourself, staff as well. I mean, we're all part of the staff, but you took the lead. So thank you for doing it. Now, frustrations are good. However, not when you start calling out electeds from CBAG, in which I did not appreciate, and I pushed back on that individual that basically, unfortunately, went out of his way to make that point. And that's all right if you're frustrated. It's okay to let us know, and it's okay to figure this out, but then not to promote your own organization, so on and so forth. I'll leave it at that, but just know that I just did not appreciate that, and I also did not like the fact that they basically attacked the organization and the membership. Aside from that, now, low-hanging fruit. We know it exists. I'm not waiting on AQMD now for another study. All right, so we are going to be sitting down with them this next couple of weeks. All right, what's up? Where we're at now? Is there any funding for whatever it may be, soil stabilization? We learned a lot from the growers. And then we also need to have conversations with the building industry. Them folks out there really are very helpful in helping us think through this. I'm not an expert in any of this. They are, especially the ag community. So I think we need to bring them in. And I like to for us to start demonstrating those actions ASAP, because I don't think we need another study for that anymore. If it's the surrounding area to target certain areas and potentially maybe conservation land, I get all that, and that way we can target that, I hear that. But if it's in our own communities and we see dust coming from our own communities and it's really disturbed land, I think we can do something about that already. So that's my next move. That's my next call to action. Whether AQMD supports it or not, I think that we did what we could to get them somewhat there. I'm not sure where they are now. They said they're going to be helpful. Okay, I'll find out. But we need to take the stand. And we will. I know we have, and we will continue to. I'll leave it at that.
I have two comments and then a question. One for the dust warnings, I would say maybe, because I know I was in a conference in Las Vegas where they were talking about the extreme heat warnings at the state level.
Yeah.
And so seeing if there's any way to connect those two to make sure we're not working on two separate warning systems when there might be something already in the works there. Second one, it's good to hear that they're open to looking at gaps in data. I think that's really promising from the university level. So it's great to hear. And then the question I have is there any focus right now on, I know there was people making those very simple, affordable air filters like in the East Valley. Is there any focus on funding for that to at least make sure people have clean indoor air quality when we can't, you know, a lot of times it's hard, much harder to control the outdoor air quality, right? But hopefully people have at least good indoor air quality at home and when they're sleeping. So is there any updates on those kind of efforts?
Yeah, the AQMD does have air filtration funding. So I can send that information out so that people can take advantage of that. And I think we are going to need to re-up that funding. So that's something that we're looking into right now as well.
For a while there, just to follow up, there was a major effort on that. Mm-hmm. We saw it in different communities. It kind of died down maybe because of funding streams, not sure. Mm-hmm. But let me look into that as far as funding is concerned. Once again, there was a program.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it still exists. Maybe it does. It's just sitting there. We need to mobilize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if we could also get information on if there is that program, which areas are acceptable to get that kind of funding.
And then a quick question. If there's a $3.1 million grant, I mean, I agree, we don't need another study. And if they're already reiterating that there's no change in debt or it's decreased when we know maybe the larger PMs are the ones that are impacting us. Does this body get input or do we provide it to the supervisor who sits on AQMD of how to utilize that $3.1 million, or they're making those choices without the input?
No, listen, Linda, I hear you. Give me the list. I got to go to bat. I think we have them there where we can actually convince them. And if not, then we mobilize.
But are those $3.1 million already in motion? Is that still debatable? Or?
It's in motion.
Yeah. And that's for air monitoring, right?
Yes.
And what exactly is that going towards?
There's going to be additional air monitors in the valley. So one of the things that the scientists at AQMD are saying is that a lot of times when you have these dust storms, it's highly localized. And so they want to be able to see exactly where it's coming from, because we could say, hey, it's coming from over there, but it's actually a little ways down the road that the dust is springing from. So you want to be able to actually address where the dust is rising, even if it's moving the other
way. And the effort behind all that has to do with the conservation efforts. Tom, you had a meeting with those folks as well, right? And ultimately, it's about trying to figure out how we can target the limited resources that exist according to how it's being framed for me. So we can try to address the efforts on conservation and if need be. They also want that data to help us with more funding, is my understanding.
They do.
And so even though the 3.1, Linda and others is being used for the monitors. We do need more monitors, that's for sure. However, doesn't mean though that we cannot dig and find out where there may be extra money. And quite honestly, every year we're up in Sacramento fighting for more money anyways. So we try to get our fair share.
And I'll make sure to send out all of these to Erica so she can send them to the group.
Just a quick question. Supervisor Perez had given instruction. One of our residents had shown up and he had actually utilized a ride share to get there. He's health compromised, and so this is a very important issue to him. And he asked, where does the community go to hold this group accountable? And the recommendation was city council members, you know, that are on CVCC or on the CVES and various can hold committees. Curious as to if we set that up to in our cities to have a voice for these residents, do we go to you? Do we go to you? Do we go to AQMD? How do we make sure their voices are amplified, not lost?
Right. That is a fair question. I would suggest that obviously AQMD, we need to be engaged eventually. If not now, we need to get them engaged. I don't know if I can get them there right away. The EPA does as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have a member of EPA there, as well as others. And I'm talking about even at the United States level, at the mm-hmm. federal level,
mm-hmm.
not just the state level. But in the meanwhile, if there is an effort in your local community to do this, I'll be willing to start, you know, having workshops, if you will, our own just conversations about, all right, folks, those of you that were there, let's get into lessons learned, let's get into what their thoughts are, and what are we willing to do? And if I can put together, we can put together a plan, then we can integrate that into how we're going to make sure that AQMD follows up.
Perfect.
Because it's not, we got somewhere, folks. But now that we got this far, I'm not convinced that we got them. Okay. So I don't want to create that type of understanding or mirage for you or expectation.
Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting to see where they're at because I just found out some more stuff that I'm not happy with. So I'll let you guys know later once I look into it further. I just found out literally like 5 minutes ago.
You can also always direct people to me. I'm happy to continue to gather information and meet with people or just take residents' comments. And I gave my card to many, many folks there.
And to add on to the question about the air monitors, the air cleaners, purifiers for the home.
I've really got to put a stop to this. This has not been agendized.
Right.
Gave some allowance for the supervisor to report on this, but the back and forth we can't do. And I have a lot to say about it, but I won't. Let's agendize something for the next meeting. Chair, let's move on.
All right.
And on moving on, I would suggest in the interest
Thank you.
Having a quorum for our action item that we move item 7C forward on the agenda.
C is in Charlie.
One other comment that I wanted to share is we did open up a request for proposals in Indio for Adobe Homes and Straw House Homes. So we're waiting to see if anybody puts any bids on those. We'd like to study the affordability of that type of construction, but also the energy savings long term and then the fire resistance of those kind of structures. So we think that's going to be a good for the region. So we're waiting to see if we can get some bids on there. Mr. Reed?
I move approval of item 7C.
No. Not yet.
Why not?
We're almost there. consent calendar.
I don't think we've gotten to it before.
It's going to be item 7C. We'll proceed 7A. I don't think we've gotten to the consent calendar yet. So, change the point. Point of order. Let's
all right.
Do that.
Yes. Just if we on have the consent votes, calendar, just call the roll.
Look at Dana riled up.
All right. On the consent calendar, we have the minutes from September 11th, 2025. We have a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion, Ms. Steph, and a second from Supervisor Perez. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Light.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Motion passes. We'll move on to item 7C.
All right.
Contract
amendment. And committee members, it's up to you, Chair, but if you want the staff report, you want to see the staff report, or allow for a motion to move forward.
Staff report.
All right.
I come over.
By the hour?
Due diligence. Good afternoon, committee members and chair. Julie Mignona, Transportation Program Manager, and here today to talk about the regional PM10 street sweeping program relevant to what we were talking about for the dust mitigation. So first, what is PM10? PM10 is particulate matter with a diameter of 10 micrometers or less. So as you can see on this slide, it shows fine beach sand. It's pretty tiny. However, it is it can penetrate deep into the lungs and cause various health problems. So that is a huge issue here in the Coachella Valley. The Coachella Valley is a non-attainment area for PM10. PM10 is regulated by air quality standards, and the Coachella Valley is a non-attainment area or a region where PM10 pollution levels are higher than the national ambient air quality standards by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. So that shows the importance of what we are doing for this. Here you can see the Salton Sea Air Basin. That is the air basin that we are in, and see the Coachella Valley right there. So what are we doing at CVAG about this and with our member agencies? Back in 2022, the South Coast Air Quality Management District funded a study of our street sweeping program and of the PM10 application to it. This program includes 1,050 curb miles that are swept biweekly. This is just a sample map. It's not the entire Coachella Valley, so that you can see how we break up the street sweeping by week. The vendor that we have used is the Sweeping Corporation of America, and we entered into a contract with them. It began January 1st, 2023. And is good through December 31st, 2025, which is why we are here talking to you today about the program. There are regular street sweeping miles and then special impact areas. You can see the areas on this map generally. There's specific maps if anyone would like to see those streets that are special impact that have higher dust levels and need additional sweeping and special equipment to sweep them. You can kind of see there along the 10 where there is a lot of dust. So this past fiscal year, our regional street sweeping program had four different funding sources. We had received $150,000 in COLMAC funding, $220,000 in an AQMD grant, and then we are reimbursed $27,000 for the Highway 111 sweeping in the city of Palm Springs due to Caltrans reimbursing them. And then we receive about $454,000 in the city's contribution of AB 2766. This is 75% of the city's allocation of AB 2766 funds. So the program was running at about $851,000. This year, the program costs are $960,484. And the COLMAC program funding ended in June 2025. So we are now short that $150,000 and then had additional program costs due to increased sweeping and services. So we are proposing actually for this next fiscal year to utilize 100% of the city's AB 2766 funding. And we are also pursuing AQMD funding to extend our $220,000 grant for each year and the use of, the additional COLMAC funding. There is a little bit of COLMAC funding remaining, and we're working with the county to pursue the remainder of those funds so that we can make our program whole. The proposed contract amendment includes, like I said, the regular street sweeping miles, the linear curb miles that we anticipate sweeping on an annual basis is almost 24,000. The special impact streets are 1,898. The Palm Springs Highway 111 miles are 1,524. And then CV Link miles, which we are now sweeping to ensure that that is included in our program is 1,600 miles. That funding is not included in the AB 2766 or any of these funding sources. That is being funded separately. So the breakdown of the additional 279 is 130,000 for increased surface levels, 66,000 for cost increase, gas, and the cost of dumping has increased, and then the 82,000 for the biweekly CV link sweeping. What are our next steps for the program? I know we are asking you to do a few things today, but we are also, as CVAG staff, is pursuing the South Coast Air Quality Management District grant extension. We're pursuing the residual COLMAC funding, and we are asking to enter into MOU amendments to increase the city's contribution of AB 2766 funds to 100%. There is a current balance of the AB 2766 funds of $742,000, which will be used for this fiscal year to keep the program running at the same service levels that cities expect. And then member agency engagement. We are engaging the members sometimes monthly, sometimes quarterly based on the need. So we have an ad hoc committee and we meet to discuss the program overall, any challenges, any improvements, the funding constraints. And we have seen a lot of improvement over the course of the last year and a half with input from our public works directors and the program managers for street sweeping program at each agency. One thing that we addressed as part of that ad hoc committee is they requested GPS tracking for the street sweepers, and every city has as many logins as they want to follow. They can log in and see exactly where the street sweepers are. I actually receive a report every single morning showing the previous night's street sweeping. If there were any issues, we communicate that directly with the agency that the issue may have been in. So, with that, staff is requesting to authorize the executive director to do three things. Execute amendment number one to the services contract with Sweeping Corporation of America for regional street sweeping services, adding an additional $279,311 a year, extending the contract through December 31st, 2027. And to take the necessary steps to secure additional funding for the program, including funding from South Coast Air Quality Management District and the County of Riverside. And third, to execute amendment number seven to the AB 2766 Vehicle Registration Revenue Memorandum of Understanding with each jurisdiction, increasing the funding contribution from 75% to 100% and extending the term through June 30th, 2028.
Question from Mr. Reed.
Move staff recommendation.
Not yet. Not yet. I got some questions.
Well, under the rules.
Yeah, you can. You if there is a first and a second, you do have to.
Then you can just discussion.
Yeah. You could then just have discussion.
All right.
It's just, so it's just I'll second his for discussion purposes only.
Sure.
My question is, I didn't see Desert Hot Springs, and I'm new here, so I may not know the back history of there. But is there any of this in Desert Hot Springs?
There is street sweeping in Desert Hot Springs. There's not a special impact area out in Desert Hot Springs. Okay.
Does it show anywhere, or can you show on the map where in Desert Hot Springs?
I can send you the specific maps. I will follow up and give you, because there's...
So I didn't see anything on there that showed that, so it looks like we were...
The main road.
That one was specifically directed at like Palm Desert, La Quinta area, but there are individual maps. It would be very cumbersome to have
each. You could send that to Amber and I, because I know the water district would be
absolutely
interested in that as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And we do work closely with your staff, so okay. I know.
And you said the 130,000 in increased services was in the high impact streets?
It's all, that's all of the streets, not just special impact.
Okay. So everybody's getting additional
services. Absolutely.
Any other questions?
So is the amount, the additional 25% coming from each of the cities that this group apparently is willingly giving that up? Is that an even amount amongst the jurisdictions? I don't know what we get in La Quinta for that.
It's not. These are fees associated with the registration of your vehicles. So the more vehicles you might have in a city, the more money, and it is not even. Some cities might benefit more from the program. What I can share with you is all cities benefit more than you pay into the program because of the outside funding that we're getting related to air quality.
And I think I had asked before, like having an on-call service, I think the city contracted separately and is paying for an additional street sweeping services when we have heavy dust storms and our cyclists demand clean gutters. And my guess is we may be using part of those funds for that.
I don't know. Julie, do you know? And just to clarify, each of the cities have their own sweeping.
Correct.
Desert.
Yeah.
Sometimes, in-house, we are sweeping the big regional roads because that's where most of the traffic is and most of the sand gets ground up and thrown into the air.
Okay. So is there a possibility of getting some of the $3.1 million from AQFD to help offset the increase here?
We already got funding for street sweeping.
We do. We just want more.
Our grant is expiring with AQMD. We'll discuss AQMD a number of strategies, notably for those that have been around a while. That $3.1 million is related to the Sentinel Air Quality Mitigation Fund that was set up 12 years ago that also funded CV Link and a lot of other projects. There's some money left over. And thankfully, the district set it aside to address PM10 in the Coachella Valley.
But it is, I think, one of those low-hanging fruits, as we mentioned, as part of like that list that I think we should raise it. Why not? As well as the other points that were made as to other mitigation efforts that are low-hanging fruit that can be done right away.
And just one last question. The 1,600 linear miles on CV Link, we're about a 40-plus mile pass, so it looks like there's 40 cleaning sweeps a year. It's more than twice a month. That's a lot.
Bi-weekly, and then there's additional funding in there for if there's a storm or if there's – so there's some additional.
In addition to what we're contracting with DRD. So
DRD does not do any
sweep major sweeping. Sweep sweeping but.
Yeah. DRD is focused really on a lot of the access points. All the miles in between are not hand washed or spray washed.
That's
what this project would do.
Okay, it won't just be mini street sweepers that get on there.
Oh, it will be street sweepers
And washed.
And DRD
does
go out and wash up the access points as well.
They send street sweepers. The sweepers actually get off and blow it. So they make sure that it is swept appropriately.
And just an example, I did check with Indio, and ours is $90,000. It would go up to $120,000 if we were to go to 100%.
That's okay. So,
any other questions? We have a motion from Mr. Reed, second from Mr. Voss. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Blythe?
Yes, I'm going to help you spend your guys' money.
Thank you. Motion passes. We'll go on to item 7A, which is Climate Pollution Reduction Act Program, Regional Comprehensive Climate Action Plan. And we have Mr. Jacob Alvarez.
Thank you, Chair Ortiz and committee members. For the sake of me making it through this presentation, I will start off with some acronym house cleaning. So when I refer to MSA, it's Metropolitan Statistical Area. When I say CCAP, it's Comprehensive Climate Action Plan. WRCOG is Western Riverside Council of Governments. SBCOG is San Bernardino Council of Governments. And GHG is Greenhouse Gas Inventory. So you'll hear a lot of those in the presentation. So this plan was funded from the Climate Reduction Pollution Planning Grant given to SBCOG to develop a MSA-wide CCAP. When I say MSA-wide, it's both Riverside and San Bernardino counties, county areas. CBAC subregional cap was a necessary element of this larger plan, and the MSA cap serves as a guiding mitigation document for all cities across both counties. The cities in the plan will be leading the way by utilizing the cap as an essential backup for their individual grant proposals, ensuring measures are tailored to fit their communities. CVAG's role will be to engage and seek grant funding focused on regional mitigation measures, where our unified approach makes the proposal more competitive. This plan is due December 1st and is focused with more detail and long-term strategy. It includes comprehensive GHG inventories, emissions projections, and a roadmap for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. This builds on the Priority Climate Action Plan. This initial plan identified near-term, high-priority implementation-ready measures to quickly reduce greenhouse gas pollution that was published back in March of last year, which was utilized in the region's Climate Pollution Reduction Implementation Grant Submission. The development of both of these plans were conducted by SBCOG, WRCOG, and CBAC. CVAG initiated the subregional CCAP element of the 3COG plan in the summer of 2004. During this initial phase, we established the required tasks and necessary timeline for the completion. And CVAG, along with the consultant team, committed to handling the majority of the effort. The last comparable work completed by cities within CVAG's region was approximately in 2012 through our Green for Life project. Consequently, these old plans are significantly overdue for an update. Member jurisdictions were engaged to request energy and water data, review GHG data, select reduction measures, and choose socioeconomic data sets. In terms of the community feedback, we had a public survey where we garnered 673 responses that showed residents' concern for improving air and water quality and increasing cost effectiveness, such as lowering utility bills. The plan included 34 measures across six sectors, which include building, energy, on-road transportation, off-road transportation, solid waste, agriculture, water, and wastewater. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Rich Walter with ICF, who will take us through some of the analysis.
All right, good day. I'm Rich Walter with ICF, part of the consultant team that is supporting CVAG, SBCOG, and WRCOG with the preparation of the Comprehensive Climate Action Plan. ICF, ESA, and Farron Peers were all make up the consultant team. I'm going to go briefly into the summary of the report. It's fairly detailed, I'll just give a brief overview. First thing we did was to do a greenhouse gas inventory, and this is to estimate the emissions associated with activity here in Coachella Valley for all the cities that are part of CVAG. As Jacob mentioned, we do building energy, so that's emissions from electricity and also at the power plant. It comes from solar, you're not going to have those kind of emissions, and also natural gas use primarily. On-road vehicles, obviously tailpipe emissions, off-road vehicle vehicles and equipment, more landscaping type of and agricultural equipment. Again, that's tailpipe. Some agriculture emissions, not much within the cities themselves, more of that's in the unincorporated county, but that's more fertilizer application. Solid waste management is about emissions primarily at landfill associated with methane that's generated from decaying waste. Wastewater treatment, there's some generation of emissions at the wastewater treatment plant. And then water transportation, bringing water to people's houses. And distribution treatment, there's some limited emissions associated. So that's the first thing we did, was to calculate what the current emissions, we used 2023 as our base year. And then we did a forecast. And when we do this, we do a forecast called a business as usual, or BAU forecast of those emissions. We look out from today to 2030 and 2045, because those are the milestone years in kind of California climate legislation, SB 32 and AB 1279. Those are the bills that establish statewide goals. And so this is really looking at where we're at today, and if we did nothing going forward, and the state did nothing, and the feds did nothing, you see, with growth, there would be substantial growth in emissions by about 25% by 2045. Then we looked at developing some greenhouse gas reduction targets. And in this, we worked with all the cities in CVAG, as well as in the other parts of the region, to identify 2030 and 2045 targets. We identified city by city targets for 2030 and kind of a regional goal for 2045. And this is a kind of a deep dive into the 2030 targets, which is the more near term. And because we work with the individual cities, they selected one by one, they selected their own targets. In some cases, they have adopted that recently in some other climate action plans. Palm Desert did a climate action plan in 2019. Palm Springs did kind of a score, a dashboard, I believe it was a greenhouse gas dashboard that updated a lot of their work. So some of these targets were previously established, some were established through this effort here. And you'll notice that they say MTCO2E, that's metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. Most of greenhouse gas emissions are carbon dioxide, but there's also the other, some of the others, methane and nitrous oxide among them. They also do it, but they have a kind of a different strength to them. So there's a way that we can combine all those different greenhouse gases into one metric called metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. You also see up there, it says, for example, under Cathedral City, 3.05 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent per SP. So SP stands for service population. This is kind of like per capita, which we all know, you know, per resident. But this is actually per resident and employee. And so it's a way of benchmarking emissions to see how efficient you are over time, because you can look at it in correspondence to how much growth you have and whether you're getting efficient on a per capita or in this case, a per service population basis. You can see that most of them are on that service population basis. Blythe and La Quinta and Palm Springs have kind of what we call mass emissions basis. So it's based on a fixed amount of emissions. We also then looked at these 34 measures that Jacob mentioned, and the individual cities actually selected which measures they were interested in participating in, and we modeled those measures. So it varies city by city. And then we modeled what the emissions would be in 2030 if those measures that were selected, along with the state measures, were done. And the good news is we found that everybody but one met the identified target by 2030 if they implemented the measures that they identified. Palm Springs is a little bit different. They actually established their target in a very different way from everybody else. They actually benchmarked it to 1990 emissions, and it's a more aggressive goal than most of the other cities had selected. If you actually took the most common way that other cities calculated their targets for 2030, Palm Springs would actually meet an equivalent target. So it's not a matter of not doing anything in Palm Springs, to be sure. It's a matter really of much more ambitious target that they established separately. Okay, so a little bit graphically to look at that, when we combine the state measures, which you probably aware of, going to 100% renewable energy, for example, the vehicle emission regulations and other initiatives at the state level, as well as the local measures that were identified. We identified that you get more than 3 million metric tons. Right now we're at about 3.4. So it's a pretty substantial reduction going forward to 2045. And you can kind of see it's split up here by the different sources. You can see the building energy and transportation, they're our biggest sources, and they're going to be our biggest sources in the future. Mm-hmm. And the measures to reduce them are also going to have the biggest effect over time. And so we generally meet all the targets for 2030. By 2045, we'd be short. We get about 60% of the reductions needed from, and we need to get about 20% more. That's going to require more effort at the state level. In particular, but also some additional level at the local level. I find this is pretty common in calculations when we're looking out that far. You got to kind of walk before you run. I'm doing that. Some additional elements that we did in the study, in addition to the greenhouse gas analysis, we also looked at co-benefits. That's benefits other than greenhouse gas of doing the measures that were identified. We looked at workforce planning. What are the people we need to support, you know, a lot of these transitions in the economy dealing with greenhouse gases? And funding sources, critically. What funding sources are there for local cities as well as regional entities to fund many of these measures? I think we skipped the slide.
Did we?
Oh, we did. Oh, blocking the if there's one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Mr. Walter.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Thank you, that's great information.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll have the deadline and meet the December 1st submission day.
Yes, the plan is essentially done. We just wrapped up. We circulated for comments from the cities. We pretty much addressed all those. We're just putting a bow on it, and then we'll submit to the EPA.
We'll likely submit to the EPA prior to Thanksgiving, given the long holiday break.
Yeah,
and then we'll hope that someone receives it on the other side.
I'll get back to work. No.
Thank you. Okay, we don't have any questions. All right.
Does it go out to public comment, or it has already?
Public comment was earlier.
Yeah.
No, I mean the draft plan.
So,
I'm sorry. I guess
the climate action plan is that public comment period? Yeah, so they got like 600.
Oh, we did a survey to see what the residents were interested in, what they focused on. And again, that was air quality, water quality, and then the
portability.
I mean, the
portability.
Was that where there was a completed version that you're now kind of giving us the highlights, or is there now a done version that's going in December 1st?
There's a done version that's going in December 1st, and the guidelines, I don't believe, called for a public comment once it was completed.
When we talk about participation, enforcement, affordability, and reliability, we want to make sure you have an opportunity to see that plan.
I'm sorry.
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you. Right. Yeah, I'll follow up.
Thank you. And that's a receive and file. So we'll go ahead and move on to item 7B, Inland Regional Energy Network Business Plan with Mr. Jacob Alvarez.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Ortiz, and a good afternoon again, everyone. Today, I'm here to provide you with a critical update on the development of the IREN business plan. The plan will be a guide to its funding and programming from 2028 to 2035. Just real quick, IREN is a partnership between WRCOG, CVAG, and SBCOG. We received $65 million to implement the plan over 2022 to 2027 to cover the public sector codes and standards and workforce education and training. The new application here. We now are at a critical juncture. The discussions have begun for the next business plan, which will guide IREN's work from 2028 to 2035. This is a significant opportunity for CVAC to ensure IREN's effectively addresses and evolving energy needs for our region. Just again, a reminder, filing is for every 4 years. Next deadline is February 15th. And then the next business plan will cover from 2028 to 2035. Following our strong advocacy, IREN staff conducted a comprehensive review of existing statewide and regional programs. The analysis revealed that repair funded programs already exist in the residential and commercial sectors. Crucially, the primary challenge is not the lack of programs, but the rather significant gap of programmatic awareness and utilization within the Inland Empire. The executive committee made key strategic decision that they're going to go ahead and move forward with a little bit of evolution in the current three core programs. And instead of waiting on the 2028 program to administer new programs, we're directed to immediately focus on coordinating with existing energy efficiency program administrators on the residential, commercial, and industrial sectors. This shift means that our primary strategy for bringing resources to our residents and small businesses is now through enhanced outreach and integration into the existing third-party programs. We have already seen this action with presentations of third-party programs in residential, commercial, industrial programs presented in our July and October IREN meetings. The one thing that we know is going to change in the next business plan is the overall structure remains the same with three core programs, but there's going to be an incorporation of technical assistance and an integrated demand side management side of things. So that's what we call IDSM. So it covers things like electric vehicles, energy efficiency, distribution, generation and storage, demand response, and time-based rates. The IDSM technical assistance will be integrated into the IREN public sector program. This crucial new component will allow IREN to provide comprehensive project support to the cities, from audits and performance specifications to funding analysis and construction support, all aimed at helping public facilities shift energy use away from peak demand hours that directly address the critical need for reduced stress on the grid and help keep the lights on and air conditioning on in the Coachella Valley during high stress periods. IREN plan must be submitted to the CPUC by February 15th, 2026. The business plan will have, again, those three sectors, public sector, workforce development, codes and standards, workforce education and training, and then IDSM. What we know will be changing in terms of budget will be funding for technical assistance due to the growing demand of the local agencies, new outreach to educate agencies on third-party programs, again, the residential, commercial, and industrial sector, comprehensive audits of energy efficiency, solar storage, again, under IDSM. In terms of workforce education and training, we'd like to see a double of energy fellowships from currently 27 to 54, increased investment in partnerships with San Bernardino and Riverside County workforce development departments to strengthen clean energy career pipelines, and then codes and standards, expand IREN branded trainings and continued positioning as a trusted regional energy efficiency resource, technical advising for local agencies requirements such as AB 39. AB 39 requires cities, and specifically here would be City of Indio with a population of 75,000 or more to create an energy plan within their general plan, and then coordination with workforce programs and contractor outreach to raise awareness of the HVAC trade job opportunities, which is kind of a HVAC maintenance program. With that, the next IREN business plan must be submitted again to the CPUC by February 15th. Given the limited meeting schedule between now and the submission deadline, specifically only one IREN executive committee meeting in January, staff is recommending that we take action today. We seek authorization for the Energy and Sustainability Committee Chair, Vice Chair, and CVAG's Executive Director to approve the 2028 IREN application and business plan and to continue existing programs and continue the advocacy for expansion of the programs and that benefit residential homes as well as small and medium commercial. This recommendation secures CVAG's interest in the immediate future of IREN plan while also firmly directing our leadership to maintain pressure on the vital residential and commercial coordination strategy. And if you have any questions.
Sure, and just wanted to highlight there that we were looking at pushing for more residential and small business programs, but that looking at what was already available, we saw that there was plenty there available. And so we're working to help compile that kind of information. I know, Jacob, you mentioned there's a website that we're working on.
So a couple of things. In the agenda, you'll see an informational items. There's an update on the Equitable Building Decarb program that'll be starting sometime probably mid-2026. And then there's also programs ran by Maroma, which is a residential program administrator to help do energy efficiency direct installs, as well as a Cascade, which helps with small commercial, medium commercial, and industrial. There's a staff report in that. In terms of the website that you're talking about, we're going to probably, looks like, utilize IREN's website and then also DCE's, where we would incorporate, what's the name of it? I mean, I just lost it.
Incentive Finder.
The Incentive Finder, where folks that are interested, they could put in their zip code, and then it'll ask questions about their overall income, and then it'll provide all the different programs that they qualify for, and then guide them to those particular program administrators. And then them, like IREN, they wanna see success too, so then they're gonna guide them through their program, not just, here's the application and go. They're gonna try to get them to wanna be a part of the program, but at the end, participate and finish all the updates to their
much. Any questions?
Oh, just a quick question. When you look at, I think Vlythe has benefited from some of this grant money, correct? Because since it's not in the IID territory, what components in the IID territory have benefited, if at all?
So, like for instance, the City of India, we went and did a walkthrough audit of their city hall. Their teen center, their senior center, and there was another facility. In those particular ones, there you could do, in order to reduce gas, they still would tie to the HVAC system. Mm-hmm. And so they would do a heat pump. And so there's energy efficiency savings that the gas side of things would pay for. It wouldn't necessarily pay for the electric side of things. For the City of La Quinta, we're trying to find some measures that would help with your pool. When we found out that your pool got heated, it literally doubled the consumption of therms in your city. And so we're trying to find ways of how to help with that. If things don't qualify for IREN, we work with SoCalREN, and for instance, Blythe. We worked with them to do, it's either going to be a heat pump water heater or a tankless water heater in one of their facilities. And that's going to be a direct install. So it's actually not going to cost them anything. And that's because they wouldn't qualify given. Actually, Blythe was really good. And we found like very little things that we could do because a few years ago, they got into a contract where they did all of this stuff.
Nice.
So we were able to find a few things that we could do. And it didn't necessarily qualify for our program. But in order to be a helpful partner, we teamed up with SoCalREN to then do what they had to do is provide us like a quote. And then through that, they then turn around and SoCalREN will then direct install those tankless water heater, heap of water heaters.
Okay, and I just have one last question. If we're in charge of helping review the budget and we're providing recommendation to allow that, I've noticed that IREN is sponsoring a lot of chamber events and community activities. And is that... I don't know why. Is that part of the $65 million? And is that a good use of those funds? And how much have they spent on, quote, just outreach and QR codes to be at tables and events and videos and what, you know, if that's...
the marketing budget.
So
for each city, we could spend up to $6,000 to help sponsor those events. Mm-hmm. I haven't on a couple of cities. I have not on every single city. When again, it's to get our cities in our particular region. You guys are all familiar with IREN, but I would say in the WRCOG region or in this SBCOG region, they are not. And in a way, for at least specifically in our region, if you do those QR codes, it's kind of showing what we've done in your city so far. So it kind of provides you an update of the work that we're doing. And then also that there's opportunity for fellowship. So if there's folks that are usually interested, they'll kind of contact us anyways. And then in particular, like with Desert Hot Springs, I was able to talk to their city manager where they were like, hold off, wait. And because the extra incentive kicker is about to run out at the end of the year, and it looks like it may, I gave them a heads up, and all of a sudden they're back in it, and let's go and do those walkthroughs, and let's see what the mitigation measures we could do in particular to their recreation center, their senior center, and I think their city hall. So it also helps, you know, it's not like, okay, we sponsor, and then we kind of sit there and enjoy lunch. Like, if we have opportunity to engage, then we find those opportunities to have that time conversation.
I imagine you're doing that. There's a lot of that already, but it's...
And I want to piggyback on...
They think it's a company.
I want to piggyback on what he said, though, because this was kind of a re-engagement, right? We had already participated. It was kind of hanging low, not much kind of plugging along, and it became time to, like, should we reconsider this again? And then when Dory became city manager and then Danny, our deputy city manager, then we re-engaged the conversations because there were new programs and things that you got. Now you guys are kind of back doing some things again, so that's good.
Yeah, and then again, we were at, I'm forgetting what state of city, which one was it?
City, Desert Hot Springs.
Yeah, and so we got to meet the fellow that is actually with MSWD. So that was kind
fantastic. Of fantastic. Thank you.
So.
With respect to the first part of that question of who approves that, I don't know if the IREN board actually approved that specific use of funds, but they did approve the budget.
And
it is a question I've asked since CVAG doesn't sponsor anything under its current management. We're kind of grumpy about such things and stingy. We did ask our colleagues at WRCOG to reconsider that in future years.
Any other questions?
Call a question, Mr. Chair.
There's a recommendation here.
Oh, sorry. All right. Motion?
Yes.
Motion from Supervisor Perez. Do we have a second?
Second.
A boss?
Yep.
Mr. Boss here. Motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Light?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Alvarez. Two items there on the information side. We have the native planting resources that were provided that were requested last time. And then we do have some of those resources from IREN in your information packet as well. Any public comments on non-agenda items?
No, Chair, we have none.
All right. Next meeting will be on Thursday, January 8th. And we'll go ahead and adjourn. Thank you.